Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 in your Bibles. If you'll turn there, we'll look at verses 12 through 16. I'll read verse 12 if you'll join me on the 13th, and we'll read responsively down through the 16th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. If you'll go ahead and stand with me, and we'll begin reading on verse number 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Let's go ahead and go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of year. Lord, the time that we can just remind ourselves to be thankful for all that you've done for us. And Lord, how you do provide everything for us. Pray that you please bless in the service tonight. Be with the preacher as he preaches. Give him the words to say. Help us to listen. Put away all the distractions that are in our minds, but to pay attention to what you have for us tonight. Be with the special music and the preaching the following name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Kelly, very much. I want to draw your attention to verse number 15 and 16. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And so I want to talk for a little bit tonight on the subject of the veil. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good song our hearts were just blessed to hear. Thank you that it's just simply just as we are, we come to you. And you receive us and will not turn us away. Thank you for that. And now we come to you simply again tonight because we want to be helped and blessed by your word. I come and ask you for your spirit's fullness, clarity of thought, clarity of speech, And God, that we might be able to concentrate, hear and listen, and have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us this evening. Help me, I pray. May this be a blessing and a help to our hearts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. How's your Bible reading going? I hope it's going well. I have enjoyed, I think I've shared with you two or three times this year, I've decided at the beginning, at the outset of the year, to read the Bible through chronologically. I've thoroughly enjoyed reading it chronologically, and I hope your Bible reading is going well also. Reading God's Word is so necessary for the child of God. I've made it a priority to challenge you, and you, those of you that have been here over the years, for these 22 plus years, I've challenged you to read God's Word faithfully. And read God's Word regularly. I believe with all my heart that there is great blessing in reading it. Reading it. But I would also love to see God's people get something out of their Bible reading. I'm afraid that too many people read it and are content to do just that. Read it. Just get it read. Get it behind me for the day and so I can move on to what I need to do for the rest of the day. When the truth is, we need to get something out of our reading. Now, I understand, friend, that's not always going to happen. You're going to have those mornings, those evenings, whenever you open the Word of God, you're going to read it, read faithfully, consistently and regularly, and it's going to be like hitting the wall. I understand that. There's seasons in the Christian life that you and I must learn to endure. But when's the last time you got something out of it? When's the last time it did something to you, for you? You know, remember, God's Word is food. His Word is water. His Word is light. His Word is fire. It's a mirror. It's a sword and more. And surely with it being all of those, when we read it, it's some effect will take place on us or in us or through us. I was talking to Brother Hall in the last couple of weeks. He has a very good program going for the teenagers right now, and I think it involves Bible reading and writing on a piece of paper what you get out of it. And I think some of you are doing very well at being faithful in that, and I hope that you're getting something from it. You know, tearful parents have sat in the conference room across the table from me and said something like this: I don't know what's wrong. I see them reading their Bible. It's kind of like we have the idea that just because we see them reading their Bible, then that means it's going to solve all the problems. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's not having any effect on them. And that's not just true about teenagers, that's true about adults too. It doesn't have any effect on us. Okay, I want to talk tonight about that subject. Let's see what God has to say. Look at verse number 6 in this passage, the last part of verse number 6. The Bible says, Paul writes, "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." How many of you have ever heard that phrase? You ever heard that phrase before in conversation with people? "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." I'll tell you when you heard that. You probably heard that when someone was arguing against standards. They're arguing against Bible separation, personal separation, standards of conduct, standards of behavior, standards of dress, standards of whatever. And they're going to throw, you know, "You're legalistic. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And we're not under the law. We are in the age of grace. And the Spirit of God gives us liberty to do whatever we want." That has absolutely nothing to do with what this passage is teaching. Nothing, okay? That's all just a bunch of blah, 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 blah. That's all that is. And that's the text that they use to say, you know, man, I'm in the age, this is the age of grace, and we have this liberty through the Holy Ghost, and the Old Testament kills. That's not what that verse and this whole passage is talking about. Let me paraphrase the passage for you quickly tonight. Listen carefully. The nation of Israel put all of their eggs in the basket of the Old Testament, the law. And the law was a wonderful thing. The law is still a wonderful thing. Israel exalted the law. They made much of the law. And you know what? Paul agreed with Israel. Israel called the law a glorious thing, and so did the Apostle Paul. He said, you're right. And when you read these verses down from verse 6 to verse number 18, you understand that the law was a great and glorious thing. The law reveals the righteousness of God to us. But it was not an end in itself, because the law brought death. Israel exalted the law, exalted something that demanded death. Because the law cannot save, the law, very wonderful and great, only resulted in death. Anybody who tried to keep the law found out they couldn't do it. And it was under the penalty of the law. They had to undergo the penalty of the law because they couldn't keep the law. The law could not save them. The law was a schoolmaster to point them to Jesus Christ. It was the Son of God who fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, like I said this morning. He fulfilled the righteousness of the law. And then, you know what He did? He went to the cross, died, was buried, and rose again, and made that righteousness available to you and me. But it's in Christ. It's not in the law. It's in Christ. It's not in the keeping of the words. It's in Christ. And you don't get it by working for it. You get it by receiving it by faith. And once you receive it by faith, then the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and writes it on the heart of the believer and, boy, indelibly imprints, if you will, the life of Christ on us. Now, Paul said, and I'm laying the foundation here, you stay with me during this. Paul said that all the Old Testament law pointed Israel to Christ. But the nation of Israel won't see the truth about the Old Testament law because they have a veil. Do you remember when Moses was on the mountain and had that time with God for 40 days? And when he came down off the mountain, his face shone. Remember that? And they said, Moses, we can't even look at you. And so they put a veil. He put a veil over his face. Because they couldn't look on him for the brightness of his countenance after spending 40 days in the presence of God and seeing the goodness of God. Now, Israel does not have a veil over their face. They have another matter altogether. Look at verse number 15. But even unto this day, this is A.D. 60 when Paul was penning this letter. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is not upon Moses' face. The veil is upon their heart. The heart of Israel, the nation of Israel. Their heart is covered by a veil. Their heart cannot be touched. Their heart cannot be changed. Their heart cannot be taught. Their heart cannot be moved. Their heart cannot be squeezed. Their heart can't be changed because it's covered by a veil. A veil is covering their heart. A veil clothes their heart. Now look at verse number 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when Israel's heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And that will happen, folks. Jesus is going to come. And then they're going to recognize and realize that they crucified their Messiah. And their heart is going to turn to the Lord. And when their heart turns to Jesus, the veil is going to be taken away. And all of the truths of the Bible are going to be apparent to the nation of Israel. You understand what I'm saying? And boy, that day might be coming quicker than we think. It's kind of interesting to see all that stuff happening over there. Amen. Now listen very carefully. Did God record this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 just so we could read it and go, that's interesting. Shame on the Jews for not realizing that Christ is their Messiah and for not turning their hearts to them, and shame on them for exalting the law and refusing to turn their heart to Christ. And as a result of that, they got a veil over their heart and they can't understand everything. So, okay, what's for supper? Is that why it's in there? Is that all this means to us? A little history lesson about the nation of Israel? I'm afraid not, friend. I am convinced that you and I can have a veil over our hearts. Just as real as the nation of Israel. Oh, not in the area of salvation like theirs is. But we have a veil over our hearts. And it makes it very difficult for you and I to read and understand and get anything out of the Bible that we have. If we have a veil over our hearts. You see, the law, the Bible to the Israelites, it was just words on paper. Let's look at these words. Let's line up with these words. But friend, they are more than just words on paper. They are life-changing truths and principles and values and morals and guidelines that the Spirit of God can use in our lives. And He could have used it in the lives of the people of the nation of Israel if they had just turned their heart to the Lord. They're more than just words on paper. But the veil has to be removed. And if a heart is not turned to the Lord, if a heart doesn't seek God, if a heart doesn't seek Christ in the words, the veil keeps the Spirit from working on us through the words. But when you and I have a heart that says, oh God, help me. I want to learn. I want to hear from you. I want to know more about you. Teach me something about you this morning. Teach me something about you. Then the Spirit of God will load our wagon. It's all a part of making sure the veil is removed. The veil is removed. We are as blinded as Israel. They said, man, here it is. This is the law. These words are great. They're wonderful. They're powerful. They're God's words. But it had no effect on them because their heart was not turned to God. You and I hold this book in our hands and say, hey, this is it. God's Word, King James 16:11. No other Bible for me. Not the NIV, not the ASV, not any of these other versions. No, sir. Right here. Hey, this is the Word of God, but it has no effect on us. None. And we read it regularly and read it faithfully. But friend, I wonder if we're reading it regularly and reading it faithfully with a veil over our heart because we're not seeking God. We're not turning our heart to the Lord. God's Word can and will change us through the working of His Spirit if our hearts are turned toward God. Same thing is true about Bible-based preaching. Pastor, I don't know. I don't know. We have our son. We have our daughter in every preaching service. People, listen. You can bring a German shepherd to every preaching service and put him in a Bible-based preaching service. But it's not going to change that German shepherd. Because that German shepherd has no heart for the Lord. And I want to tell you something. Young people, adults, anybody who park themselves in a preaching service whose hearts are not turned to the Lord are going to get about as much out of it as the German shepherd. Said this over and over again. Consistently. Two people can come to church. One sit on one side of the auditorium. One sit on the other side of the auditorium. For one, it's obligation. For one, it's responsibility. For one, it's duty. For one, it's just what I need to do. Week after week after week after week. And it's, man, I got to hurry and get home. Well, I want to get home. Okay. And for the other person, it's life changing. Same message, same text, same Bible, same outline, same illustrations. What's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. One person comes with a veil over their heart. Another person comes with an open face. An open heart. Brother Bragg was really, really burdened this week because he have a guest preacher down. Brother Brian Bussey came on Tuesday to preach in chapel. Brother Bussey is a good man. And brought, from what I heard, not just from Brother Bragg, but from a couple of teenagers, I heard he brought a great message on the devil in chapel on Tuesday. And Brother Bragg was so burdened by the non-responsiveness of a certain group of the high school, junior in high school, junior senior high school. And then walked by a classroom later on that day only to hear all the chatter and talk with excitement about the movies, and everybody's entered into da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Really broke his heart. Now you want to know why that is? That's called having your heart turned to the movies and not having your heart turned to the Word of God. I don't care how powerful it is. If there's not some kind of turning of the heart to the Lord, friend, there's a veil over it. And it covers and it conceals and it shields the heart from the truth. The Spirit can't work. And that we adults are as guilty as these teenage boys. We're as guilty as them. We can engage in all kind of spirited debate about politics and sports and money and government. And you know, I'm not against all those things. I live in this world like you do. But when's the last time there's something that excited you out of the Bible? I would rather have a veil over my heart about the movies and be open to the Word of God than have my heart veiled to the Scripture in order to think about the movies. A cry and shame. The kids aren't going to serve God and turn out for God without a heart for God. The Bible is not going to ever affect them unless they turn their heart to the Lord. Come with a heart condition that's ready to receive the Word of God, whether it's by reading it or by however we approach it, if it's being read or if it's being preached, if we have a veil over our hearts. When we approach the Word of God, we will never benefit from it as we should. And it's not the Bible's fault. It's the veil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, don't turn to it. Paul lists like a New Testament 10 commandments there. You're familiar with it. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. You remember the passage I'm talking about? Then he says, in everything give thanks. And then he says, quench not the Spirit. And the very next command is despise not prophesying. That's the preaching or the exhortation of the Scripture. And whether it's by reading it or whether it's by listening to it being preached, I don't want to quench the Spirit working in my heart. And I can do that with a veil. I can do that with a man. With a heart that's not turned to the Lord. You realize that sometimes the veil that stops the work of the Spirit, that shields the influence of the Spirit, that wards off the influence of the Spirit, you understand that sometimes the veil is one word. In Acts chapter 21 and 22, don't turn to it. Paul is in the midst of a Jewish mob in the temple. They're going crazy. They're mad at him because he brought a Gentile or a Jewish born a proselyte into the temple. And they're in an uproar. And the Roman captain and the soldiers go down and they take him away. And they're climbing a flight of stairs to get away. And Paul says, would you please let me speak to them? And the Roman says, aren't you that Egyptian? Egyptian. Paul said, I'm not an Egyptian. He said, I'm a Jew born in the city of Tarsus in Sicily. He said, I'm a Hebrew. Let me speak to them. And the soldiers stopped and Paul's on this flight of stairs. And here's this Jewish mob below him. And he begins to speak to them in the Hebrew tongue. In their language. And the Bible says that they were all the more silent. And they heard Paul and they listened with rapt attention, giving audience to everything he said. And he was talking about his testimony, and he said in verse number 21 of chapter 22, he was talking about what God's directive was for his life. And Paul said, God said to me, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And as soon as he used the word Gentiles, they gave him audience unto this word. When he said Gentiles, they went way crazy. Take him away! Away with this man! They threw their clothes in the air. They threw dust in the air. When it got all the way, they listened with rapt attention until Paul got to the word Gentiles. And then when they heard that word, they shut it down. They closed it down. They had a predisposed attitude about the Gentiles, and nothing Paul could say would change their mind. What word is your veil? Tithe? Is that your veil? And I will not, oh man, preach it. Oh, this is wonderful. But when I get to the word tithe and reading my Bible or hearing preach, it's like a predisposed attitude. I'm not changing that. What's your word? Baptism? What's your word? Forgiveness? I can read it. I can hear it preached. I can read it. I can hear it preached. But I'm not going to forgive. It's a predisposed attitude. It's a predisposed mindset of the heart. What is your word? Submission. What is your word? Standards. What is your word? Ministry. I'm convinced that that word right there is in the hearts of a lot of young men. And when they can hear all the preaching, but when that word is mentioned, phew. Ministry. I get amused at all this talk. Well, I'm surrendered to whatever God wants me to do, but. And God's going to have to chase me down, tackle me, throw me over the edge, choke me, and cram it down my throat, but then I'll surrender. Thank you for doing God such a favor. And enjoy the preaching, enjoy the teaching of God's Word, enjoy reading it. But man, if it ever comes up about full-time ministry, the predisposed mindset, the veil is put in place. Is it movies? What's your word? Is it restoration? What's your word? Is it respect? What's your word? Is it altar? What's your word? Is it witness? Is it soul win? What's your word? Is it music? Or maybe your word is like Israel. Maybe your word is a name. The name of Jesus stopped them. They would not recognize Him. And maybe your word is a name that represents something from the past, where there's grudge and unforgiveness and bad feelings. But I'm not going to deal with it. Folks, we get predisposed about so many earthly things. And that's okay. I'm only going to, you know, we're predisposed about the kind of car we drive. Those Ford trucks really are nice looking trucks, Brother Penny. I must say, man. We get predisposed about the kind of coffee we drink, about the color of our house, about the kind of shingle to put on the house, the doctor or dentist to use, what shoes to wear, place to get our hair cut. We're predisposed. You're not going to change our mind. You're not going to change our mind about the place we get our hair cut, about the kind of shoes we wear, about the coffee we drink, about the color of house we like, about those things. No, you're not, our mind is made up. And you know what? That's wonderful. Don't change your mind about that. Be predisposed in your heart about some of those earthly things. But friend, don't ever get predisposed when it comes to eternal truth. Does that make sense to y'all? How's your Bible reading? Getting anything out of it? Is it just like, okay, let me get this done. This is words, and let me get these words read. Read. Okay, I read these words, and click, check my box off. Or do you turn your heart to it? How many times have we seen this with new converts, Brother Caleb? They get saved, they're excited, they become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're moving along, and we say, okay, here's the next step, and they say, no. And you know what? That's it. There's no momentum, there's no more growth in grace, there's no more even an attitude of expectation. It's just they've reached a point where they're predisposed. I'm not taking that next step. And it's hard to get any momentum in Christian growth. It's hard to get anything from the Bible when there's a veil over your heart. Turn, look at the last verse of chapter 3. Look at what it says, the first few words of verse 18. But we all with open face. That's your heart turned to God. When you read the Bible with an open face, whatever it takes, God, speak to me, change me, deal with me. I have no predisposed mindset toward any of my behavior or my attitudes. If you want to do something in me, through me, to me, do it. Does that make sense to you? Do you see the difference in that kind of approach to the Bible as opposed to the kind that says, I'm really enjoying this, but don't ask me to change that. Our problem is we got it reversed. Now you tell me what's open-faced. I understand they're going to go through seasons when just seems like a pit in the wall, my Bible reading. I go through those seasons as well. But if you are consistently coming to the Word of God regularly and faithfully and leaving the table, no effect. Ask yourself, is there a veil over your heart tonight? Is there a veil there? Approach it with an open face. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? Turning to the Lord must be done with humility. You realize, friend, that every turn in humility tears the veil away. Listen to 1 Peter 5:5. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And when you and I come to that book, whether it be reading it or hearing it preached, with a humble, open, and I think you know what I mean and what the Bible means by open face. My wife told me, we were on the way to Jack and Nicole's wedding, and I said to her, I said, I wonder who the attendants are, the stand-ups are going to be in the wedding. And Joyce said, I don't know any of the girls, of course, but she said I think you went on their website, and she said, I tell you what, every one of those girls is standing up in her wedding has an open face. And I knew what she meant. And I think you do too. There's no guile. There's no secretness. There's no hidden. No hidden agenda. Nothing below the surface. There's an openness. And that's how You come to the Word of God, you come to it with an open face. You know, if Israel had come to the law with an open face instead of a veil over their heart, they would have seen that the law was pointing them to Christ. And they would have embraced Christ. And you know what? To any Jew in this day and age who does embrace Christ, I was visiting with Nancy McCann yesterday, had the surgery. It's been a horrible experience for her. She looks like she's going to have a baby. Her belly is swollen. It's just, and there's severe problems, and I was having prayer with her, and she's a Messianic Jew. And I was talking to her about when she got saved. She was brought up in all the Jewish ritual. Exactly what I was going to preach about. All the ritual, everything. She said, you know what, when I went to the Baptist church, she said, I heard him preach about Jesus Christ, and I realized that salvation and all the things we've been taught as far as ritual in the Jewish church, that's not the answer. The answer is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And she turned her heart to Christ, and the veil was taken away for salvation. But you and I don't want to have a veil over our heart when it comes to sanctification. What I talked about this morning, we want God, now that we've been born into the family, we want God's book to change us. But friend, it won't change us if I'm predisposed that it's not going to. Does that make sense to y'all? As powerful as it is, a simple little veil over my heart or yours shields off the working of the Spirit. I'll promise you, friend, that veil, whatever it is not worth all that the Spirit of God wants to do in my life and your life. We just tear it away. In humility, approach the Scriptures and say, Lord, whatever it is today, teach me. And no word. No word. At no word am I going to turn you off. That's open face. That's when God can do something in your heart. Thank you for listening. That's all I'm going to say tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would you take this simple thought, this simple message tonight, use it in our hearts, please. Lord, I so want your book to influence me, to change me. But God, I don't want to shut it down with veils of my own predisposition. Veils, Lord, when I've decided I'm not changing. I don't want to shut you out. Help me to turn my heart to you when it comes to the reading of your word, the preaching of your book. Help us tonight. Help the people of our church, oh God, please, to turn their hearts to you. Help the young people to quit giving it lip service and literally turn their heart to you. And be open-faced, oh God, with your book so that your Spirit can do a great work in their hearts and lives. Oh God, please help us not to miss it. Not to miss it. That's my prayer.